Welcome to the Inglourious Blasters Podcast, the Star Wars Legion podcast talking anything and everything glorious or inglorious about the game. My name is Corey, and with me today are two tweezers I call friends, John and Brendan. How's it going, my dudes?
It is going great. Didn't you call us tweezers before?
Yeah, I'm glad you noticed. Because it's relevant because there are so many BX Commandos at Worlds, right? So that's slang for BX Commandos from Clone Wars Rookies, the episode.
A lot of EXD at Worlds.
A lot of EXD, a lot of BX, a lot of acronym soup over there.
I had to use tweezers the other day for a splinter.
But that's painful.
Yeah. So that's immediately where my brain went.
Nice. Well, guess what, guys? We're on our 49th episode. We're almost at 50. That's kind of insane.
What? That is pretty crazy.
I know.
Long time.
So if you've been around since episode one, we appreciate it. Absolutely. Yeah. Wouldn't be here without you guys. Moving along, we got some stuff to hype up. Let's talk about Atlantic City Open. We got some news on it. We got our TO for the event with us. Exclusive interview. It's Brendan Smith. How's it going, man?
I'm supposed to know.
Give me the deets. Only some deets.
Yep. So this year we're doing something a little bit different for the Atlantic City Open. It is going to be June 15th and 16th this year. The event is also on the 14th, but the Legion events will only be the 15th and the 16th. And yes, you heard me say events. So the first thing we're going to be doing is a team tournament. Three players per team. I'll share more details on how that will all work soon. But, you know, only one ticket will have to be purchased for a team to participate in the team tournament. And so it's going to basically be three players playing standard games of Legion against each other from the two different teams. Whichever team has more wins, wins the round. So, pretty simple format. There's a little bit more nuance to it than that. But, yep, we're doing a team tournament. And, you know, we are also going to be doing, once tickets go live, for a short period of time, the tickets will be discounted for the team tournament. So if you are interested in the team tournament, sign up quickly with you and two friends. Only the team captain has to purchase the ticket or whoever is willing to front the money. So we will also be doing a single player tournament. Ideally, the people who sign up for the singles event will be newer players who want to get a feel for Legion at a con, who maybe have never been to a con before or don't know two people who would be willing to team up with them. So more details on both of those coming soon. Both will be two-day events. And, you know, I hope to see a lot of people there. I think the team tournament will be a lot of fun. It'll be a little different. One of the main things about the team tournament, though, is each player on the team has to be playing a different faction. We are counting a faction, the Shadow Collective, as a faction. And also, you cannot duplicate unique characters across the forces. So if, you know, Corey wants to have Maul in his CIS, the Shadow Collective player can't have Maul. So
I think Bosk hurts the most because he's in three different.
Yeah, so you will have to plan that out with your teammates to make sure no one is using any unique cards. So that means only one Darksaber. You can't all bring a Darksaber.
Oh, unique cards as well.
Yes.
All right, cool.
Interesting. That's a cool dynamic.
Yep, so get curious with your list building.
All right, you heard it here first. Let's get curious. Teamwork makes the dream work. Let's go.
Woo! So hopefully we... and if for some reason we don't meet the minimum we're hoping for to have a team tournament, we will combine the two events and have one singles tournament. So you will be guaranteed games of Legion no matter what.
That's good. Buy a ticket, show up.
Yeah.
That's the easy plan.
Pretty much.
Excellent. Alrighty, how about we get into Adepticon? We got a bunch of stuff to talk about, so we're gonna go over, you know, our predictions, you know, how, from the last episode, how close were they, how our games went, how was the convention overall, and we got a whole batch of spoiler stuff, right? A whole bad batch of spoiler stuff.
Oh, that, but, that was forced, and I loved it.
Very nicely done.
Thank you. I will be here the rest of the podcast.
Oh, that long?
Yeah, unfortunately. You're going to have to deal with me a little bit longer.
All right. But, all out.
Yeah, so let's get into our predictions, right? So Brendan kept track of all of his judge calls, right? Because he was the judge all throughout the con. So Brendan, do you just want to read them off and then like let's see how close John and I were?
Let's see how close you guys got. So to keep in mind, on Thursday I was one of the judges for the LCQ. Friday all the judges were on for the main event, but then Saturday and Sunday I was a judge for Spec Ops.
Yep.
So I have slight tweaks to my numbers because of Spec Ops, which will make it kind of interesting in one area. Because with Spec Ops, right, I was still trying to learn the rules too. So, so the first area we had talked about was line of sight calls. Corey guessed I would have 50 line of sight calls, and John guessed 140. By Price is Right rules, you're both over.
Oh,
I had 20.
I thought I was being a little too low. Ugh.
I had only 20 line of sight calls.
So I was close.
Yeah.
Math seems off.
Yeah, you were real close, John. No.
No.
I'm going to come back to rules because that's where it gets fun.
Okay.
Forum questions. Corey guessed 10. John guessed 35. I had 0 questions where I had to go to the forum. So none that right. were, oh, you there know, you completely confused me. I had to go to the CRB a few times, but never the forum.
All right.
CRB cleared it up. Terrain. Corey guessed 20. John guessed 15. I had 10 calls that had to deal with terrain. All right, and close. So rules questions is where it gets interesting. Because Corey guessed 70, and John guessed 90. If we don't include the Spec Ops questions, I had 70 rules questions. So exactly what Corey guessed.
Whoa, there, buddy.
If we include the Spec Ops rules questions.
Don't say it. Don't say
90,
it.
90. Exactly what John guessed.
So all my calculations did in fact include Spec Ops. As did Corey's.
No,
side.
I don't know about No, I don't know about that. Damn it,
because we did say that it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
We did.
Sunday.
Fine.
So I thought that was hilarious. I will say I did learn some new stuff having to answer questions. And I do also realize that after the fact, I had made a couple incorrect rulings. You know, sometimes it happens in the heat of the moment, you know, trying to remember rules. I'm sure this happens to a lot of people, but for me, sometimes when you obviously know an answer and then get asked the opposite of the answer, you think, well, maybe that was the answer and I'm misremembering. So I made a couple mistakes and I realized that after the fact. Unfortunately, by the time I had made that realization, it was too late to go back to that table and let them know I had made a mistake. I don't think any of them had an impact on a game, hopefully. They were pretty minor ones in general, but I now know that for the future.
All right,
cool. What was the total number of judge calls between all four categories,
including Spec Ops?
Yes,
I had 120.
Oh, jeez.
All right.
So my
bad. I will.
I was
will
way
keep that in
off.
Mind next time.
Yeah, I was way off.
Now, part of the fun was seeing who would get to tables first, because we were kind of racing each other to tables.
I saw multiple judges running to answer.
As did I.
It's like they were like, no, 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 pick me, pick me, pick me.
Right.
Which was very entertaining.
It was mm-hmm. very entertaining. There was one time I was walking to a table, and I just happened to get to the aisle before another judge who was running. So I just body blocked and just walked down the aisle.
I Heisman'd him.
it gave a little yeah. look going, nah, this one's mine. So
No, I got that.
Body checked him into another table of players. Well,
I didn't run into them. I just, blocked yeah. the aisle with my body. So
nice. Nice. Excellent.
That would have added a whole new element to a Legion yeah. game. What do you
imagine
do if
judges
all of your
knocking
minis,
each other into the tables?
Yeah, all the minis just go everywhere. What? How do you restart? What happens then?
Ooh, I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah, might be problematic.
Might be problematic. You know what? I'm a bad podcaster. I didn't do any math on the following questions, right? Like how many Inquisitors or how many Geos we would see?
So I don't know exact numbers. I know there were only two Inquisitor lists.
That I remember. So
but
John
for
was
Geos,
the closest, but he still went off.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know at least one made it to the top eight, I think. But yeah. Or was it even top four? But.
Well, Game Uplink was down for a little while, so it was harder to kind of get that data.
Yeah, it only came back up, like, I think today.
Today or yesterday.
Like,
or, so.
Like, today's Tuesday, yeah. Or Monday, yeah.
Judge call-wise...
I think we were off either way.
Yes, very yeah. much so. Oh, yeah. I yeah. didn't really have a lot of judge... I think total, I played four games. I had two judge calls total. Between all four games on day one. Yeah. So, and both were, one was a rules question and one was during deployment for recover the supplies. The token wouldn't sit flat on a piece of terrain that was kind of a wonky piece of terrain. So we had to do a judge call and say, like, what do we do with the token? And we just, like, basically the judge shifted the piece of terrain ever so slightly so the token would sit flush on the table. But those were the only two times between all my games where a judge was called. So, relatively
that's good.
Light.
That's easy.
Yeah, yeah. So all my games were pretty straightforward. I don't. How about you, Corey? Judge calls? Did you have?
It was kind of half and half. It wasn't like an absurd amount. It was definitely. I don't know the exact number, but I'm just gonna say under 10 for rules, and then under 10 for line of sight. So. Easy breezy.
Lemon I did breezy. One of the not line of sight calls for one of Corey's games, and it did yeah. not go in Corey's favor. So,
but that's okay. That's all right. Was it on that green board?
I don't remember it. The whole weekend's rocks. A blur at this point.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, I played on a lot of the same terrain, planet, ecosystem. I don't remember it. It doesn't matter. Moving along. What I want to get to is... What won Worlds? And who was right?
Get out.
It was me. Shadow Collective, Black Sun Enforcer list.
I was close.
Yeah, you said Luke Cook's list. I'll give it like a little spoiler. I played Ollie, the winner, right? So he piloted that list. And... after our game, we were chatting and he said, yeah, he played against his teammate from That's No Moon. And they played like 15 games together and he was, his opponent was playing EXD and all 15 games, he smoked him. I was like, yeah, that feels right. EXD does not like to see armor or comms jammer. That was pretty brutal.
And Double Bus, Shadow Collective has both, so...
Yes. Yep. And then, it had a bunch of overrun attacks too, which he very frequently like attacked three times. So that was gross. Also, I learned one of my judge calls was I am very unaware. You can overrun vehicles. I had no idea. My poor droidicas.
That makes sense.
Got overrun.
I hadn't thought of that one before.
I didn't think of. I was like, sure. Like, I no one plays this against me, so okay, go for it. My Jordicus got wrecked. I was like, damn. All right. What did they ever do to you?
Roll.
I know, right? Actually, they did do a lot, but they did do a lot of that. But I'll get into my game section. But yeah, congrats to Ollie, the winner. Fantastic player, fantastic dude. And then yeah, how about John and I get into some of our games? I played a lot of games over the weekend, so I'm gonna try and be extremely brief, and I'm gonna put myself on a minute timer each time I start talking.
Everyone, don't worry, he's not recounting all of his games in a minute.
Yes, per game. John, do you want to talk about your games first?
It's up to you.
Or would you like?
You can go for it.
Yeah, sure.
Start banging, I'll start. Banging some of these bad boys out.
All right, let's go. So I played in the Thursday Swiss. Here we go. Timer started. So I played against Richard Blankenship, right? So we jokingly said we flew all the way to Chicago just to play each other again. He's one of Nick's like local areas.
He
group,
tabled
right?
me at PAX. That was fun.
Oh, he did. That's right. I remember that. It's cool dude. Cool player. Except this time he was playing clones. He was playing like like a clone castle-y gun line. So what happened was we did sabotage moisture evaporators. He put his evaporator too far out. So where I could just light up that evaporator, and he never really got a chance to tap it. So the game ended 4-3. It was some like really, really close dice rolls. It could have actually gone in either one of our favors because I think he was up on points. Yeah, he was up on kill points at that time. But it was literally a rally roll that lost him the game. So close game. Great dude. And stop. All right. 1:02. Not bad. John.
Very nicely done.
Well, Corey, figure we should go through all of your Thursday games since John didn't.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I do have third. Yeah.
It also helps because John wasn't ready.
Yeah.
This also helps. So. All right, timer started. I played against Mitch. I'm going to butcher that last name.
Sorry, Mitch.
Kazimierczyk. It was an Australian dude. He was playing Double Darks Boba. One thing EXD does not like to see is armor. Funny enough, I killed every single thing except for Boba and Double Darks, and I only killed 258 worth of his army. Ooh. Which is pretty dumb. He killed basically my entire army, and he got like 668 kill points. We were playing Breakthrough. I really tried to like nuke down Boba, and I threw a ton of hits into Boba, and I guess the math was pretty average on the saves. Every time I shot him, like I got like one, maybe two wounds, but just wasn't enough. And then he just every time I would just go into the Breakthrough zone, he would kill something. So that's how that game ended. Great dude. Great game. That's it. All right. Gotta go to the next round. Sorry, everyone. I'm doing this live.
Gotta
do control F on game uplink. Takes a while when there's 272 people. All right. So then third game of Swiss. Let's see. I played John Johnson. So it's a 5280 guy. Cool dude. That's a theme. That's a running theme here. He played Ewoks. He played Ewoks with a Chewie AT-ST in the list. So that was fun. What happened in this game is we played Hostage. And I wanted to play Hostage because EXD are pretty good. And I was red and he was blue. So I just made him come to me. I wasn't really too scared about scouting party. So basically every time I shot, stuff died. Like a whole unit of Ewoks or something died. It either took one shot or like I'll call it 1.5 shots. Jordica's really shined here because they actually just got to sit and shoot rather than like play movement objectives. It was a fun match. I had a lot of fun. We were just chit-chatting a lot, bonded over some new father fatherhood stuff. He just had a kid recently, so we're both of our kids are around the same age, so had a lot of fun.
Congrats to him.
Boom, 59 seconds, nailed it. I'm doing great, guys. I'm doing great. Last one. Okay. I feel like I need 2 minutes for this, man.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to start the timer. I played against Evan Bullris. Evan and I always love to play each other in tournaments. It's just kind of our thing. He was running Vader Lat, so of course I had PTSD from the very, very first time we played.
As you should.
But this time I thought of the counters because I never slept for like two months straight after our game. I was like, oh my god, Vader's just haunting my dreams.
Let's be real, it's been haunting your dreams for 2 years now, because that was Adepticon 2 years ago.
That's yeah, I know, right? So this time I wanted revenge, especially because I'm playing droids again, and then he's playing specifically Vader Lat. So we played, I don't remember. Oh, I could probably click it. Yep. We played Bombing Run, Rollout, and Minefield. So, I didn't really care about Rollout because it is what it is. Vader's going to get in. The Lat's going to get in. I don't have an answer to kill the Lat immediately. That's fine. So Vader gets out. Vader does some fun stuff. He tries to like get in and kill some BXs, unsuccessfully. I think he killed one. Looking at points killed, yeah, I think he killed one and plus like a B1 or something. So then I remembered that the Super Attack has an awesome 2-pip card where the whatever you order gets disengaged. So during that turn, I disengage and then I shoot at Vader. I throw 7 at him while he has 2 wounds on him. And then Evan decides to blank all 7 defense dice.
Oh.
Yeah, that was pretty rough. I feel really bad because I basically did the same thing to him at ACO. Feel really bad, Evan. Love you, buddy. I think I cursed his dice the rest of the convention because Vader died quite frequently, according to him, and like unspectacular dice rolls. I'll stop there. That's about 2 minutes for the raccoon. You got double the time, sir.
And he deserved more.
He deserves more. All right, John, are you ready now?
I am ready.
Now we're moving on to the actual Worlds event. So this is Friday day one.
So we are on Friday day one of Worlds, the tournament of all tournaments, for the game of all games, Star the Wars game of Legion. All games.
I haven't heard any lies yet. Continue.
This is where the lies start. Just be prepared for a whole list of lies.
Don't worry, I'll be able to tell the viewers or the listeners if this is a truth or a lie.
I will say trying to recap these games like what has it been now, a week and a half later, so anything that I say that might be not exactly how it went down is not me lying. It's more of just my brain being completely fried by the end of the 15 hours that we were there. Because what did we check in at 7:30 a.m. and then we left at 10:30 p.m. So I didn't even remember my name.
Yeah, Brendan's right. The players had early. Had the lax days.
Yeah, we were there before you and after you.
Yeah. They were there much longer. Yeah,
like
18 hours.
Bent over a table, measuring stuff, rolling dice, like critical thinking for like game after game after game. And you guys obviously know how I feel about 4 games.
Four games is rough. I did it back to back. I don't even want to hear it, man.
Yeah, but you did that to yourself. I would never intentionally do that.
Real quick. I am an idiot. Do not do what I did. I flew in Thursday, and that's for the Swiss, right? And I was only planning on playing 3 matches. I was like, sure, let's just play 3. But I arrived so early that I could just hop in game 1. And I was like, and my hotel wasn't ready. So I was like, screw it. I'll just play now. I had woken up at like 3 a.m. or 3:30 to like get ready for a flight. I was running real low on energy that day.
That makes it even worse. That just sounds...
I made it happen.
That sounds insane to me.
I told you, Don't do what
I did.
Because
I was well rested.
I wouldn't.
And I didn't want to play four games. Three, I'm like three and done. Like I.
All I'm saying is thank God I played Evan my game four. Because like I was like so toast. I was like, nope, I'm done.
By the end of three games, I'm like, all right, I'm leaving. Like that's how I feel at the like at a standard tournament. I'm like, see you guys. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
So like by game four, there's like I'm maxed out. So anyway.
All right.
So my list was a Republic list. You didn't go over your list, but I'm gonna go over mine because I think the listeners want to know.
Go ahead.
I've said it before, but since this is Worlds, I feel like it's worth going through it, even though you can look at it on Game Uplink. So Anakin Skywalker, push saber throw, offensive stance, seize the initiative. Padme with improvised orders, seize the initiative. Two phase ones with DC-15s, captains, and situational awareness. Phase one with RPS, Echo in a strike team, and then two full arcs with the DC-15 and situational awareness. So a dodge spamming Anakin Padme list with full arcs with SA instead of pikes, which is a last minute change that I made about 4 weeks before Worlds, dropping it from 9-axe to 8-axe and getting rid of the capo and the pikes for full arcs with SA, which was working out pretty well for me. And I love this list because everything is mobile and gets that move shoot other than the RPS. So makes game sense. One, I played against Matt Bronson. So, did not get lucky with a nice, easy first round opponent. Not that anybody there is going to be easy to play against. It was Worlds. Not that anybody's going to be easy to play against, but, Matt is a extremely good player. He was playing Boba double dark troopers. So 7-axe, he had an officer, Boba Fett, and then Naked Shores, Mortar Storms, and then 2 6-man dark troopers fully loaded with the assault cannon and the frag launcher. And very rough game for me. I pretty much got steamrolled. We played intercept battle lines, rapid reinforcements, and fatal mistake, which I did not know, is darks can activate off of rapid reinforcement with their second order. So
and worry not, listeners, I gave John a lot of grief for not knowing that all the rest of the day.
Yep. So pretty frustrating. I was pretty much ready to rock and roll, had no problem. Not that I wanted to play against dark troopers, but I played against them. You know, I'm pretty much, I can get 2 fire-supported saber throws because Anakin has Seize, and then Padme obviously has Seize also, so you can set up 2 one-pit fire supports with saber throw and kind of nuke them twice. So I was like, all right, like, this is good. He's got 7-axe. I'm going to pick off a mortar turn 1, knock him down to 6-axe, and that's pretty much what I was doing. And then the dark troopers basically drop in. I'm like, no problem. Here they are. Nice, juicy targets. And then he pulls that order and is like, all right, I'm going to go with the dark troopers. And I was like, no, they did rapid reinforcements. And he's like, no, they can activate off the second order. And I literally just closed my eyes for like 2 seconds and was like, it's not even something that was like, let me call a judge. It was like an immediate, like, yes, they can. Like, I didn't think that out of the gate, but immediately remembered because I haven't played against Dark Troopers in, I don't know, like 6 to 9 months. But it was like,
If I'm learning anything, John, it's just you should never play rapid reinforcements.
Yes, you're exactly right. So, that was awesome. I had moved my ARC troopers up out of cover to take shots, range 5 shots, on this mortar to try to pick it off. And then, so basically, all my ARC troopers just basically got one-shotted back-to-back, my full ARC squads, by both these dark trooper squads that were right in my face.
A little rough.
And, So... full arc squad one-shotted, second full arc squad one-shotted by the other Dark Trooper squad. Then we roll into round two, and then another full unit of clones gets one-shotted, and then another full unit of clones get one-shotted. And then at the end of round two, I concede because pretty much my entire army was dead, with the exception of Anakin, Padme, and an Echo Strike. So it's just absolutely horrible. I don't think I've ever been steamrolled like that, and it probably would have been a tabling, which has never happened to me, because it was just mass carnage by the end of round two. So yeah, I was like, well, thank you, sir. I'll basically never forget this misunderstanding of rapid reinforcements and Dark Troopers again. It's unfortunate that it happens game one of Worlds, but congratulations on your round one victory. And that was it. So that was game one.
There you go.
It only
takes one time for you to learn that lesson. That's it.
Yep.
Never again.
Yep. Well, and then I think I even walked over to Brendan. He's like, oh, are you running to the restroom? Because I usually take a little restroom break mid-game. And I was like, nope, I actually just conceded. I forgot Dark Troopers could activate off of their second order token of rapid reinforcements, and they pretty much just steamrolled my entire clone ball in two turns.
And then I proceeded to call him an idiot in the nicest way possible.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
Yep, as you should. That's all right, buddy.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. It was. It is definitely something I will never forget. I laugh about it now, but I was pretty annoyed by it in the moment, because naturally I was just like, I can't believe I forgot that.
Sorry, bud.
But yeah. Happens.
Yeah. So rough game one.
Gotcha. Well, you know what? I'll go over my list because why not? Because I totally forgot to do that. So I'm running EXD. I'm running Kalani with Aggressive Tactics and Comms Relay. I'm running two Droidicas. One's got a Link Targeting Array. And then I'm running three BX Commandos. They all have the Sniper, the Shield, Offensive Push. And then I'm running two B1s with repair Bots and then Electro Binoculars and a B2 with a Ha Gun, right? So it's nine activations. And then I have a 12-point bid. So the idea behind the list is get to range three with the BXs with as many aims as quick as possible turn one. That was the whole idea. That's what I've been practicing all year with the EXD list whenever they came out. Hence, like, all the aims from, like, the Binox and Kalani, right, and O-Push. Really smooths out that, like, curve on the 12 die shot from EXD. I did not bank tokens much at all. I basically, as soon as I got the tokens, I spent them as, you know, fast as I could or whenever opportune times were happening. But yeah, that was the list. I want to be blue most of the time. Hopefully make clone balls move, do movement objectives. So first up, I'm going to set a timer. We're going to do this again because it's fun.
Yeah, take all right, less time than John.
Go. So Greg Capel, this is an Australian player. Again, I've fought two Australians at Worlds. So first match of the day, I'm playing against a Yoda Padme clone ball shenanigan list, right? I've played against this type of clone list many a time. So we landed on breakthrough rollout, supply drop. He decides to do Padme's infiltrate card, right? And he infiltrates behind like a building, and we're playing on Naboo, so it's kind of thematic for Padme. So she infiltrates, but I have one more deployment left, and I scout up a BX. That BX shoots a range 3, doesn't kill her. Then I use a BX range 5 shot, and then another BX range 5 shot, and she eventually dies. So then making the score 7-8 with me being the winner on breakthrough, because we just toilet bowled. He just kept moving along his side of the board, and then I kept moving along my side of the board, and we just floated in the wind, and I think that's it. I think he needed to just push more as soon as he lost Padme, because that is what it is. oh, I did lose that BX, but that's a worthwhile trade in my book because he only has seven. He would only have seven scoring acts instead of a total of nine if Padme gets in. So worthwhile in my opinion. Cool dude. Good game. All right, fine. It was 30 seconds over. Sorry.
All right, we'll set 2 minutes for John. That's
always got seems so. 2 minutes seems for John. So fast.
It is fast.
John, highlights, John, ready. Not the whole game. Highlights.
All right, before I get into the timed portion,
so he's already extending his time.
That's
what I heard.
So that one was obviously like the pivot. Not that the other games weren't interesting, but that was like the pivotal point of Worlds for me. So the other games, I will be much quicker with.
Okay. So all right. One, two, three, go.
So we got game two as you get to play this. All right.
I'm not stopping it.
So game two was against Blaze Miller, Republic player. He was doing a 9-act Cody gun line. And we were playing Vaps. I ended up being red player because he was $799. So he pretty much had to come at me because I was $800. And it ended up being a 5-5 tie, but I won by concession because I knocked out five or six of his activations by turn five, and then he conceded. But we each scored our Padme secret missions and tapped out our Vaps.
Cool. Very good. Oh, 45 seconds. Look at you. Look at you.
I feel like I left out quite a bit of detail there, but
that can be done.
You get the picture.
All right. By game two. Here we go. Starting the timer. I played against Noah. He's also from 5280. So I got to fight two of them. They're most of the 5280 Legion players I played are awesome, fun, and just really fun, and just fun to hang out with and play and roll dice, right? So we played Sabotage Long March Supply Drop. He was playing an Anakin Clone Ball list, right? I played against John against as many times, so I know exactly what shenanigans they've got. I specifically like Long March Sabotage because I can scout out my BXs to range 3 to their VAP. So basically, if they dare touch the VAP, they dare take 36 dice with a bunch of aims and Pierce 1, right? But he didn't give me that, so it basically ended up being like I tried sniping the crap out of Boyle. Boyle got down to literally just himself, ran away, and then I had to go ahead and kill a phase one or phase two in the process. Anakin and Padme were like hanging too far back to make an impactful play in the game. That's really it. After I killed 2X, I was too far back for him to do anything. That's it. Very fun. All right, 16 seconds over. I need to get better. I can't let John beat me.
Too late.
I know, too late. All right, John, you're
right. All right, game three was against Marcus White. He was doing a remnant list. We were both 800 points, so we did a roll off. So he ended up being red player. I was blue. I was actually, this is the only time I was blue between all four games. So we ended up playing KP on advanced positions. He was doing a Gideon triple death troopers. Two had the HH-12 and one had an RT-97C, all with the config and then a five-man dark trooper squad. So we're pretty much just ranged gun lines. But he had two naked units with medics. So I was picking off his death troopers and then he was just popping them back up, which was a little frustrating. And then once I burned through his medic charges, then his death troopers basically stayed down for good. And then I started to really win out on the attrition war. And then ultimately, since it was KP, Anakin was able to get in there on turn 6 and push people off and then finish off the death troopers with a saber throw after I had whittled them down to one man. So that was a win, 2-1, and then, 2-1 at that point. Also, as far as nice. Games go.
Nice. Alrighty. Start. Here we go. So I played against Mikolaj. Lucky. I'm not going to pretend to pronounce that. I fought a Polish player. He actually went very far in the tournament. I think he got 6th or 5th. I have to look at later. but he was also playing EXD. This is one of these lists where I looked at his list and I said, how come I didn't think of that? Normally I think of EXD or any droid list and I put two repair bots in by default. He went full hog wild and he put four in. So he put them on the B2s, which made his BXs extremely unkillable. We played Recover the Supply, Long March, and Hostile. So this was basically a game of chicken, and I said, screw that. I've been practicing just turn one alpha. So basically, I tried going after his BXs because he put one out at range three for me to get at. So I loaded up my BXs with aims, and I just shot at him. And I got him down to like one model, one or two models, I believe it was one. And then he's, you know, the next round, he smartly ran away. I think he run the I think he won the roll-off. So that BX got away and I couldn't like get that kill. So that was a little frustrating. And then basically from there I lose because then he's able to like pick off my shields, my dodges, and burn through all my repairs before I could burn through his repairs. So it was a gambit that didn't pay out. But you know what? I got the real prize here because I got some sweet, sweet swag from him. He got, apparently all of Poland has these command cards that they commissioned. It's all the normal ones like standing orders, assault, push, and ambush. Yeah, they are done in the style of like feudal Japan samurai art styles. So there's like a really cool looking Maul. Grievous looks really cool. Like there's like a Vader like that's surrounded by flames. It looks pretty sweet. I should take a picture and put it up on our social if everyone's interested. Or maybe I'll throw it in the Discord too. I'll throw it Discord. In the Discord. It's a good idea. Discord, check it out. There's a plug for our Discord. Very fun match. Cool dude. All right, John, you're up.
All right. Game four was against Adam Slaber. He was playing a 11-act Boba R2, just crazy amount of stuff. Ewok skirmishers, fleets with an astromech, all different types of rebels, triple strike teams with proton charge saboteurs, two AA-5s, both with quad lasers, and unorthodox tacticians, one with Shriv. We ended up playing Recover the Supplies on advanced positions and limited viz. So basically it became a game of chicken over that center box with limited viz. So I kind of moved everything up and took standbys. I had used Scout to get one of my full arcs up there, thinking I was going to use Padme's aggressive negotiations to do a speed one move and grab the box and then get that free speed one move back on turn two. But I couldn't get out there because Boba was kind of doing the same type deal. And then a bus came out and essentially kind of like blocked the box from me. And then it kind of took a turn for the worse because the ARC squad that went out there to do that ended up getting one-shotted just off of a like five hits, and I rolled five blanks. And I think you were walking by for that, or maybe you were.
I was, yeah.
And you were just like, "What's going on?" And I was just like, "It's just not." I was.
It just happened, and I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna come back later."
I was just picking up a handful of ARC troop, like all five. But I ended up coming back from that. I ended up losing both full ARC squads, ironically, but I ended up taking out both buses, R2, the Ewoks, a ton of stuff. I ended up with 515 kill points, and all I lost was both full ARCs. Boba did get that center box, but Padme scored secret mission. So it was a 3-3 tie, but I won on kill points 515 to 202. So, won that final game, and then it was 3-1 for the day.
Woo. Nice. Well done, sir. 3-1's nothing to sneeze at. Great job.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, I'm going to start the timer. Hopefully, I don't give him a lot of time. All right. So, I will try and be as nice as possible. I played against Christoph. He was just very, very frustrated at playing EXD. He thinks, you know, that Battle Force is a mistake. he thinks it's too good. I mean, like, obviously it ran the whole gambit at Adepticon. All of his teammates apparently play it all in Poland, so he was just really, really tired at the very end of the day and using not great language. just really upset. It's not even worth telling. Deployed poorly, the objective poorly, and one die roll didn't go his way and just conceded. There you go. It was a Wookiee Battle Force, like three Flutters, Chewy, and a mess of like Wookiees. That's it. And then I ended the day 3-1. And like somehow I made it into the to day two. I was a little shocked, honestly. It ruined my dead zone day the next day. No, I'm just joking.
Oh, well.
Oh, boo-hoo, right?
You played the superior game.
Boo-hoo. That's fair.
I was just right about there. I was 33rd. Because Matt ended up number one for the day. But when you lose game one, you're pretty much that. You write your ticket home.
Yeah. I think I was 27th or 26th, something like that, for the end of the day.
Yep. I was pretty much like, I was bouncing around like when we were watching Game Uplink, and I was like 26, 20, like while we were waiting for everything to fully calculate, and I was like, I'm out of here either way. I'm not playing. After game four, I was like, well, I'm done playing this game. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I was also, I think at that point after losing game one, I was pretty much just like, I am like ready to go home. And it was also my daughter's birthday party on Sunday, so I also had that kind of in the back of my mind. But yeah, I was happy to go 3-1.
I mean, it's great you both went 3-1 on day one of Worlds. So
yes,
absolutely.
Can't ask for a better showing other than, you know, my showing being undefeated. So, you know.
Sure. We can think of it that way.
Just gotta remember those 0-0 undefeated rules.
All right, I'm going to give a minute for all three of my next games. All right, here we go. I fought Double Bus. I fought the winner, Ollie, right? So go look at his list. It's Fury Road. And then I fought Brian Bear from Indie Garrison. And then I fought... Well, we'll start there. So Double Bus was not great to play against. I did nothing to the armor. Ollie ran me over with Comms Jammer and a bunch of overrun attacks. And then Brian, R2 scored Secret Mission, and then Luke hopped out of the bus and just messed up all my droids. So that's fun. And then the seventh game was against Nicholas. He was running Double Dark Gav. I had never played against that, so I was initially excited. I'm like, yeah, I think this goes really fast. Yeah, it goes really fast. It's basically a free speed 3. When the first Dark gets out of the Gav, and then the second one goes into the Gav, it's pretty gross. It's just really gross. Kalani died in one shot, which is pretty unfortunate. I didn't get to do any of his cards. We played Breakthrough. I did that game pretty poorly. Most of my games against the armor matchups, I feel like that third one, I definitely did very, very poor objective wise. I tried going after his other units, but just unsuccessfully. The darks are really good. Armor's really good. That is something I conceded against when playing the list building aspect, right? EXD is not good at against armor, so I said, yeah, I'm not even going to pack any impact. I only brought impact 2. That was that. That was my Worlds. Ended up 31st. Can't super complain.
Top 32 in the world.
Top 32. Not bad. I'll take it. All of my opponents day two were great. Even though I was crying on the inside because it was armor 3 times in a row. them's the breaks, right? All good. Legion is dead.
All my opponents were great also, now that I'm not timed and I can... Nobody can enforce anything on me.
That's right.
So everybody I played against, you're all great. Now that you guys aren't timing me.
That took too long, John. I'm sorry.
They're going to edit it out.
Legion definitely feels rock, paper, scissory at this time. I I definitely felt it. Definitely felt it this Worlds.
I do think that makes
when I bring rock and they bring paper, it feels real bad.
It makes it fun. It's not really possible to make an all comers list, so you gotta rely a little bit on luck for your matchups.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I did find it fun. I don't want to misconstrue that information or bury the lead. I had fun. Yeah.
So
sweet.
Speaking of fun, what did you guys think of the prizes?
I thought the prizes were good. I hate that I had to use tickets for them. the ticket system was fine. I think it just, the pricing could have been better on like smaller, worth less items, in my opinion. So the lanyards cost 10. Why would I go for a lanyard when I could just go for more dice in any game system I play? That was my thought, right? So if I had like 5 extra tickets and that was the end of the convention, I'd be like, sure, let's go grab a lanyard, because some of the lanyards are pretty cool. The foil cards were interesting. Not my jam, though. And then everything else was priced really, really high, and I didn't really want them. So it was just dice. All dice, baby.
It's fair. How much dice did you get?
I got 8 black, 8 white, and 6 red.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't too bad.
That's impressive.
How about you, John?
So I'm trying to think of it from the perspective of someone who likes prize support, because I think you guys know that, like, even when we go to, like, local stuff, I'm always like, oh, just give it to my opponent, because, like, I don't really, like, collect anything, like, as far as prize support goes. So the only thing I was actually interested in for the first time ever was the dice. So then I was actually more annoyed that I could only get a limited amount of dice because I can only play a limited amount of games, per se, of Legion. So I got 10 white dice because of the games that I had played. But I would like to have had the black and red dice and have been happy to pay for them, which obviously wasn't an option. So I've been kind of...
I mean, I just looked at eBay prices.
I was just about to say, I was looking on eBay, and I'm like, oh my God, so I might sell my white dice after seeing that.
Honestly, I'm looking at it too, and I'm like, ooh, maybe.
I haven't even looked at what the prices are.
But...
because I was basically the person handing out the tickets, so...
If yeah. I was a person who liked prize support, so let me rewind to the beginning of this. I would have been very unhappy with the prize support at Adepticon, personally. Because there was basically no prize support. It was just get the tickets and then get this stuff, which was a pretty limited selection. And then any of the really good stuff was very unaffordable. Or you had to pool all of your tickets for like maybe one good item. So really it came down to just get the dice. There's better prize support at a store tournament, really.
I will say this. Like, there was a lot of good prizes on there. If you wanted something cool, there was cool stuff. It's just price difficult for me. I will say this. The dice were a huge improvement over the other dice that we have specifically for Legion. I really like the red. I really like the black. I liked all the Legion dice, right? They looked really cool. They are readable. That's the most important thing, right? The white defense dice are, I think they look great. Some people I see don't really like the gray marbling with the white.
Harder to read
with the white paint.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, than like a normal.
But I don't have a too bad of an issue. But I mean, teach their own. So I will say, give credit where credit's due. Those dice look great. And then, like, you know, the higher up tier rewards, they looked cool. It's just pretty much unobtainable. Yes. I think if you played all the games, you still couldn't even get the top prize. I think someone did the math, right?
No, well, there was a way to earn extra tickets by saying you played Unconventional Warfare to the tune of an extra 24 tickets a day, saying you played four games each day.
Which I did not do, but yeah.
So by my math, if you had played and won every single game of the Swiss event and the main event, plus said you did all of your
unconventional
stuff, you could max out at 194 tickets. So okay, you could have gotten, you know, all the prize support. Well, you know, at least the high-end prize support if you'd done that way. Some of the stuff is obviously priced higher. Obviously, the cost to create it is higher.
Which I totally understand.
Yeah. And so they want to make sure if you really want it, you're going to save your tickets for it. So,
right.
So it makes sense, but I agree that the dice were amazing. They were definitely the hottest sellers.
yep.
But everybody who did get into the Worlds tournament also got one other thing that didn't cost any tickets that I had the privilege of handing out to everyone to mess up with their thought process round one during deployment.
So you're the issue. You're the
yeah. Yep. I almost flubbed.
And that was the Bad Batch card. Not just the Bad Batch card, a promo card for Worlds of the Bad Batch. Keep in mind, this was on Friday. They hadn't done their reveals panel yet. So everybody was really freaking out that morning. I got to see it a little earlier than all the players because, you know, I had to hand them all out. So I was geeking out over it all morning. So
nice. Yeah, it's a sweet card. I'm hoping the artwork on the official product is also different, just because.
Oh, it is. The reveal picture they showed on Sunday, it's different. I had also talked to Will Pagani ahead of time going, this is unique for this card, right? And he went, yeah. So.
Sweet. It's a good-looking card. I like it.
It is. And speaking of good-looking, we can start going through some of the spoilers.
Let's do it. I'm
now that we're talking about the Bad Batch. So the Bad Batch, they are 160 points, no models in the squad initially, and they're an operative, clone trooper with red defense dice, 2 health per model, and a courage of 3, and speed 2, DC-17 hand blaster for range 1 to 2, a black and a white, and advanced combat training in melee for 1 red. And the only upgrades they can take are 5 heavy weapon slots. equip Hunter, Wrecker, Echo, Tech, and Crosshair. They are impervious. They also have Scale, Steady, and Sharpshooter 1. And the We're Not Regs keyword, which basically means they can't be fire supported, and they can't spend green tokens from other clones. That was all we saw on Friday. That information, and that looks amazing just as is, because Steady and Sharpshooter 1 and Impervious, those are all wonderful, wonderful things.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So presumably they are a 10 health total unit with the 2 health per model and 5 models once you add them all. On Sunday, we then got the reveal for Hunter and Crosshair. So we're still missing a few of the Bad Batch. Hunter is at a Hunter miniature, and he has a free action of choose a non-commander or operative enemy trooper unit at range 1 and line of sight. Roll black attack die on a hit or a crit result. That unit suffered 1 wound. It's basically like budget Force Choke,
but you have to do a roll. Yeah. That's good.
And he's 0 points, so it seems like each of the Bad Batch will be 0 points added, so they're just going to be a 160-point unit.
Nice.
We also got Crosshair. Crosshair has a weapon that is range 1 to 5 and a red die. Add the Crosshair miniature. When an attack pool contains only this weapon, it gains critical 1, and otherwise the weapon itself does have high velocity, pierce 1, and precise 1. So if it's just shooting this gun, it's 1 red with critical 1 and high velocity. If he's and pierce 1, and if he's joining the whole squad, he can add that pierce 1 and precise 1. Seems good.
Yeah,
very cool.
And then they also go ahead.
So for Bad Batch, let's pretend one of the other named ones has a different weapon. Do you fire all of their weapons, or do you just have to pick? I don't remember.
Well, you would pick the weapons either on the card for the member of the Bad Batch or the ones that the squad has, because anybody in the squad can use the squad weapon.
Oh, okay, that's how. Okay, this is like the first time we're seeing that, so that's why I asked.
Yeah. So yeah, that's how it works. And cool. Then they also revealed Omega, mascot of the 99th, who is a mercenary for the Rebels, 10 extra points and 1 health with the Zygerian energy bow of melee to range 2 and 2 white. She's a counterpart for the Bad Batch, and again, only for the Rebel version that's a mercenary. And she also has a keyword, I'm part of the squad too. Basically, she doesn't have to be assigned wounds or be defeated first due to the counterpart keyword. And she can use the claim and sabotage repair actions from her base rather than the leader. And if she does do any claiming, it then moves to the leader. So imagine a lot of extra range for doing objectives.
It's like an extra 4 inches. He's good.
Real good. And they are out in... They are projected to be out in July.
Nice. I'm excited.
Very excited.
Yep. Keeping on the Republic train. Clone Commandos. I know John's very excited.
Super excited. Lots of Republic.
They are, they are 75 points, and they support so unit cheap. For 4 models. Clone troopers with 1 health, 2 courage, and red defense dice. They don't surge either way. Speed 2. They have a DC 17 blaster carbine, range 1 to 2, which is a black and a white and suppressive. And in melee, they have a gauntlet vibroblade, which is 2 black. They can take a training, an equipment, grenade, comms, and an armament upgrade. It's the equipment upgrade is kind of misleading because they have to equip one. But it's complete the mission is their first keyword. They have priority mission tokens they put on the battlefield. When they're at range 1 of the token, they get surge to block. And when enemy units they are shooting are at range 1 of a token, they get critical 2. So if you place your tokens right, these guys can be critical 2 and surge to block.
Oh, yeah.
So real good.
Did that to me on our practice game.
Nice. They also have infiltrate, recharge 1, target 1, and shielded 1. So they have lots of keywords. And as well as equip Katarn pattern armor. We've never seen Katarn pattern armor before. It's clone commandos only and 0 points. So this is a free upgrade. When this unit would be assigned more than 1 wound from a non-melee attack, you may expend this card. Assign this unit 1 wound instead. That's real good.
Seems spicy. That defensive tech is so good. Because then you just heal it back. You're going to have medics in this whenever you take these guys.
Yeah. Luckily, that is a one-time use card.
One time, trust me, is probably enough.
Oh, it probably
is. To swing the game. To swing it, for sure.
And then they also have an armament upgrade. It is dual-sided. One side is the DC 17 anti-armor config, range 1 to 2 and 2 black. It does expend... at the start of this unit's activation, it may flip this card even if it is exhausted. And it has impact 1, reconfigure, and scatter for 0 points. And then also for 0 points on the other side is the sniper config, which is range 3 to 4 and a red. At the start of the unit's activation, it may flip this card even if it's exhausted. While one or more of the weapons in this attack pool... One of these weapons is in the attack pool gains lethal 1, and it has high velocity and reconfigure. So it'll only ever be lethal 1. It doesn't stack the lethal. But It is a high-velocity sniper rifle for the Republic.
Yeah, seems really good.
Yeah, these guys 75 are beefy.
Points, 75-point monsters, honestly, is what you they are.
You honestly could put nothing on them, and I think they're fine as is.
Yep. I had a very difficult time doing anything against them during, like, a practice game.
Yeah, they're awesome.
they're rough. You just sit, recover, shoot. That's it. Infiltrate's really good, too. Like,
yeah,
it was a lot better than I thought it would be.
Play them close range or just get them into a better spot for their snipers. So
yeah, basically it was for a better spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then, you know, because it doesn't get enough love, the Empire is getting some stuff. we've got range troopers coming out. They are support with 4 models in the squad and 60 points. They're troopers with 1 health and 2 courage and red defense dice. They have the E10R blaster rifle, which is range 1-4 and a black die. They also have the Gripton boot kick, which is melee for 2 white. They can take a heavy, a personnel, grenade, and comms upgrades. They have the new advanced targeting trooper 1 keyword. So when they are shooting a trooper unit, they gain an aim. They cannot split fire if they do that. They also have armor 1,
no.
Indomitable, scale, and spur because they are speed 1. They're pretty good. The upgrades that they have are the personnel, an extra range trooper for 15 points. The T-21A range trooper, that's range 1-4 for 2 black and 2 white, that is suppressive for 28 points. And the DLT-20A range trooper, range 1-5, 2 red, impact 2 for 25 points. These guys seem real good.
I also, yeah, so during that practice game, I proxied these guys, 2 of them. I ran with the suppressive gun, but I'm not really sure which one's the better gun. I think they both throw the similar amount, but just the ceiling's higher with the suppressive gun.
Yeah, I would say the ceiling's higher, and it's always nice to throw out some extra suppression, but it's also nice to have some native impact.
It's the only reason I hesitate is because, like, it's impact 2. That is so good. It's so much better than, obviously, it's better than 1 impact, right?
Yeah, and it's 3 points cheaper than the suppressive one.
Yeah. So I think, if anything, like, they're probably very comparable. So what I learned looking at them is they're basically a droidica, but in a trooper form. If you're using the impact 2 gun, because they throw 4 black, 2 red, and if you give a droidica an aim, they usually get all 6.
Yeah. I do have to say I appreciate that giving them the impact gun and the extra guy puts them at an even 100 points, and you're throwing, you know, 5 black, 2 red, range 4.
That's what I'm thinking.
Which is real nice.
Yep.
And you can find ways to get them extra aims if you really need to. I
think these guys are not flashy, but, like, they feel overtuned.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to trying these guys out. I'm going to have a lot of fun.
The armor 1 is super gross and heavy.
Yeah. And then as a reminder for everyone who hasn't picked up on this yet, since they are support, pinned down does work with them.
It certainly does.
And that is an amazing command card.
That command card just only gets better.
It just gets better with age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now I just need somebody one of those with entourage, smartly designed ones. Range troopers, so I can take 4. So I don't know who that would be, but I want that character. moving on, we've got one new Republic unit that we know is coming out. I mean, not Republic, Rebel unit coming out. The Rebel Sleeper Cell, which is currently estimated for Q4 2024. We don't know too much about this yet, but the models look really cool. And they seem like they're probably a close range squad. They probably have something like Infiltrate. Or something. They said the inspiration was from Andor. Like, hey, these guys are waiting to just, you know, cause havoc. So,
oh, that's cool.
Looking forward to seeing more about them. I'm obviously more excited for this next unit, also slated for Q4, 2024, the Imperial Riot Control Squad.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
Which are stormtroopers with riot shields. One stormtrooper looks like he's got a sniper rifle, and it also has Imperial security droids. So, you know, like K2SO.
They've got stun batons, too, so yeah.
Stun batons, blasters. Everything about this looks amazing. And they didn't 100% confirm it, but in the language they used, they said they'd be the core to your army. So these guys could be a core unit. If so, six, please. Thank you.
Oh, boy. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I cannot wait to learn more about those units. Next up, this unit is near and dear as a resident of Maryland, the Crab Droid.
Oh, no. Now we have to paint it as the Maryland flag colors. Oh, boy.
Or just paint it as a Maryland crab. Getting ready to eat it. Just pour some Old Bay on it. You'll be fine.
I'm going to use Old Bay as my basing material on it.
Okay, that would be amazing.
It's actually scented.
And the crab droids are for the separatists, and they are currently estimated for Q4. Then looking into next year, Q1 2025, we've got aqua droids for the separatists, and these guys look real big. They are on slotted bases.
It's our first regular trooper that's on a slotted base.
Yeah,
interesting.
They said these guys are much bigger than the Dark Troopers, so these guys are huge.
Yo, can't wait.
They look real, real cool. And then next up, we got ARF Troopers for the Republic, also for Q1 2025. They look like they are going to be essentially the range troopers of the Republic, because it looks like this squad all has DC-15s. And they have an RPS upgrade, just based on the models. So they're going to shoot real far. Rocks. The tactical rocks look cool for these guys. One of them looks like it's just a sign. So I like that.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Pretty cool.
Yep.
And then what nobody saw coming, the ARF Trooper Jedi attachment that they said would also be able to go with the ARC Troopers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could mix and match or put them in either.
So we're getting some generic Jedi for the Republic. Don't know how that's going to work, but that's pretty cool. I can't wait to learn more.
It's a great time to be a Republic player. Great time. Great time. Finally.
Yeah, but I'm going to get some riot shields, so I'm okay with that. They also showed off a new sculpt for Obi-Wan and Grievous, as they are getting ready to transition a lot of stuff to having new hard plastic sculpts. There's also an Outer Rim Battles terrain pack that they have spoiled. They didn't show the entirety of the terrain pack, but they said it was going to be modular, which is pretty cool. So
that's cool.
And that is also planned for Q1. Q2 next year is the Rebel Trooper hard plastic resculpt, Stormtrooper hard plastic resculpt, Scout Trooper hard plastic resculpt, and the Rebel Commandos hard plastic resculpt. And then Q3 is the Obi-Wan and General Grievous hard plastic resculpts.
So you're telling me I should wait to buy those resculpts before I completely redo my Imperial Army?
Probably. If you want new poses. And probably better looking models.
Probably. I'll sell off my old stuff.
Sell before they come out, so people don't realize they can get better.
True that. Well, yeah, Legion's future looks pretty bright. I'm excited.
Yeah, a lot coming. Very exciting stuff. It was fun. They had one of the things you could get at the prize wall was a 6-inch by 3-foot sidebar, and it had the artwork on it for the sleeper cell and the riot squad, going
full
at it.
Spoilies.
And I see that thing on day one and I I recognized the sleeper cell as something they had called the Rebel Saboteurs, like at a mini extravaganza. And I see the stormtroopers with the riots stuff, and I walk over to Will Pagani and I go, "This is spoiler art, right?" And he just kind of looked at me and kind of gave me a shoulder shrug. And he goes, "I don't know, is it?"
Nice.
So, obviously, that just means any art we get has spoilers in it. That's what I'm taking away from it. So,
I mean, pretty much. Makes sense to me.
Art is spoilers. There we go.
Oh boy. Well,
that was a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot. A lot of reveals, a lot of games, a lot of fun.
I will say, yeah. My guess is next week. I could be completely wrong. But one thing they haven't yet spoiled for us that we know is happening is Delta Squad in the Commandos box. So I'm assuming that article's coming out in the next 2 weeks. So probably before our next episode.
Probably.
Yeah. Since the Commandos are coming out in a month.
Bring it on.
I want to see them. Show me.
I need infos. Much infos, please.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with them. I'd like to know if they've got like two wounds each or something like that. I don't know. That's my theory.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I can't wait to see what they do about that.
We haven't really seen anything. Like, they haven't shown, like, painted models. Like, they haven't shown really anything. It's all just been
It's going to be the same models. It's just going to be a different card in the box.
Right, but they normally, you know, they'll show, like, a painted version of, like, at least the markings for Delta Squad.
Well, they did have one of the two Legion art prints that you could use your tickets on was Delta Squad. So.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
I got it behind me if you want to see it, John.
No, I don't believe you.
Yeah, so I didn't talk about it, but I want to say big thanks to Hank at Adepticon, as well as AMG. They took care of the judges, making sure we had everything we needed. They were all great to work with. So... I would 100% do it again, because then I don't have to worry about getting an invite.
Solid. And then you ended up with more dice and swag than all of us.
As I said, they were very nice to us.
So. Very nice. Very cool. Well, yeah, I think we've been rambling far long enough. I've had a lot of fun. And... yeah, Adepticon was great. Community is great. Looking forward to the future of Legion. Anything else from you guys before we close out the show?
I will say I do want to know more about the proxying you've done, Corey. But that can wait till next episode. Maybe you'll get a little bit more proxying in because we have gone long. Yes. But it seems like Legion is just in an amazing spot. We know we're getting a bunch of new releases, you know, every quarter at this point for the next year. At least is the plan. We'll see how, you know, if it gets pushed back due to shipping delays or anything
no.
else.
No. I hope not. No.
I hope not also. But given recent current events near here, shipping delays could be likely. So I don't That's know. True. I don't know what port the AMG product comes into. But
That's fair. Yeah, who knows? Who knows? But all right, John, anything else before we close out the show?
No, I mean, we definitely want to do a deep dive on Clone Commandos and all the new stuff when we don't have so many different things to talk about like we jammed into this episode. And I obviously had a great time at Adepticon. It was great to meet so many cool people from around the world as we did, and just appreciate everybody who listens to the podcast. So.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Much appreciated. A lot of people came up to us and said hi and gave a bunch of stickers out. It was a good time.
Many stickers.
Yeah, much appreciated for everyone who stopped by to say hi.
I also want to thank Cockles from That's No Moon. He gave me a hat for their podcast is part of my trophy for winning the Fantasy Football League. And he also gave me a really big Cadbury chocolate bar. It was delicious.
You ate your trophy?
Yes, it was chocolate.
And with that, we are the Inglourious Blasters. I'm Corey.
I'm John.
I'm Brendan. Once those Riot Stormtroopers come out, I'm 100% running them with Dubex. It'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. Stay glorious, everyone.